Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6 and verse 10. Doing good is Christ-like. Acts 10 and verse 38. Peter told the household of Cornelius how Jesus went about doing good, for God was with him. To do good is the highest level of human behavior. Doing good not only benefits others, but it offers mankind the richest rewards and the truest joy that can fill his heart and make him useful and make him meaningful in life. The sphere of doing good is so broad and so inclusive, the opportunities are almost unlimited. There are many objects upon which we can expend our time and talents in doing good. There are the widows, the orphans, the homeless, those in various kinds of physical need, the aged, the sick, the bereaved, the afflicted, the discouraged, the downtrodden, and the weary. And the failure to do good is one way that we can and do sin, James 4 and verse 17. But we can also do good in the moral and spiritual realm as well as the physical. In fact, of the two realms, the spiritual good is more important and more lasting. Let us consider something good that Moses did long ago. He extended an invitation to his brother-in-law. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel." Numbers 10 and verse 29. Our lesson is that we can do good in a similar fashion by extending to those around us a similar invitation. Let us analyze the nature of this invitation and learn how we can and how we ought extend a similar one. Moses said, "We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you." Now Moses was talking to Hobab. The Israelites were on their way from Egypt to the promised land of Canaan. They were strangers in the land, nothing more than wandering pilgrims. They were passing through the territory of Midian, and they were going to a place that would not be earned, but would be given to them by the grace of God. Peter refers to Christian people in a similar fashion, that is, being strangers and sojourners and pilgrims just passing through. Peter said, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." To the Christian, this world is not our home. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're passing through this way on our way to our heavenly home that God will give us. Eternal life with God is a gift from God, Romans 6 and verse 23. Like Abraham, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and whose maker is God," Hebrews 11 and verse 10. The journey of the Christian is much like that of Israel. Israel's journey began by leaving the bondage and slavery of Egypt, and by the blood of the Passover lamb, this was made possible. The Christian's journey to heaven begins by leaving the bondage and slavery of sin, made possible by the blood of Jesus Christ, who is called our Passover, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Israel was freed from their bondage when they crossed the Red Sea, which Paul described as being baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, 1 Corinthians 10 verses 1 and 2. The Christian's exodus from the servitude of Satan is a reality when he is baptized into Christ to become a Christian, Galatians 3:27. In baptism, his sins are washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. It is then that he leaves the service of sin and becomes a servant of righteousness, Romans 6:16 through 18. And after Israel was baptized unto Moses, they rejoiced for their deliverance. And even so, when one is baptized into Christ, like the Philippian jailer or the Ethiopian, he has reason to rejoice, for he's been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Colossians 1 and verse 13. And Israel's journey continued through the years of sacrifice and service, times of denial and hardship, phases of weakness and also strength, at times being chastised, at other times being praised, working, for 40 long years they wandered toward Canaan. Is not the Christian's life often filled with trials and threats, hardship, times of praise and persecution, weakness and strength, regret as well as reward? Israel was guided by God with the cloud and the pillar of fire. The guide for the Christian is that same God through His Word. As the psalmist wrote, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119, verse 104. Israel's journey ended when they successfully crossed the Jordan River and entered the Promised Land. In like fashion, our journey shall end when we cross the river of death, and we shall reach our goal. And there, waiting to help us across, will be our Savior and our Lord. Moses told Hobab, "We are on our journey." Christians today tell the world, "We're also on our journey. We're going somewhere, and we know where. We have a purpose in life and a goal to reach. We have a mission to fulfill and to accomplish. We count with God, and we are on our way. He will reward us at last." Moses extended a most cordial invitation to Hobab, "Come thou with us." From this, we know that Hobab had not yet begun such a journey. Just like many people today who have not yet started toward heaven, Hobab was standing nearby, but had not yet started toward Canaan. 1 John 5 and verse 19 reads, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Many are in the state of wickedness, and they're not going to heaven. In fact, most are actively pursuing a journey away from heaven by the wide and broad way that leadeth to destruction, Matthew 7:13-14. Is it not obvious that there was no way Hobab could ever enter the Promised Land if he never started toward it? Is it not equally obvious that none shall see the glories of God in heaven if they never begin their journey toward it? We cannot complete what we never start. Some may have some fears that they can't hold out, but the greatest concern it is that there's no way to succeed without beginning, without starting. Moses' invitation also implies that Moses wanted Hobab to come along. Moses was in God's service, and he was happy to be there. He had faith in the promises of God for the nation of Israel. He knew that the people would reach the land. He wanted Hobab to be among the blessed ones. His invitation was a most unselfish one. It is no different in the attitude of faithful brethren toward the lost of the world. As Paul stated, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Paul wrote, "I will very gladly spend and be spent for you." And again he said, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. And to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." 1 Corinthians 9:19-22. Paul was simply saying that he would go to any legitimate length and effort to put himself in the place of others, that he might understand them and love them and teach them in order to lead them to salvation. Nothing was too much to save others. How Paul wanted the lost to go with him on the journey to heaven. And we should invite people today because we have a Savior that they need. We have a love for them, a concern for their spiritual welfare. And to lack that love would be to miss so much of the way of Christ, because Christ came to the world to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15. He said he came to seek and to save the lost, Luke 19:10. He wanted them to go the straight and narrow way to life. As his followers, how could we want anything less for anyone than that which he wanted for them, and even died to provide? And Christ invited people to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We invite people, therefore, to come with us as we follow that same Christ. And therefore we say to the world around, come thou with us. And then Moses offered a twofold promise. He said, we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. The first promise has a certain limitation because it includes humans, but the second part of the promise is divine. Those traveling the same road can be of assistance to each other. We indeed bear each other's burdens. We need the help of each other on our way to heaven. At every turn, the devil stalks his prey, but we are prone to weakness and subject to temptation. But a part of being a Christian is having fellowship with the redeemed and helping one another serve God in a pleasing manner. One primary goal in marriage is helping each other get to heaven. Brethren ought to have deep concern for the welfare of each other along life's way. Life has its pitfalls, its difficult moments, but we can lift one another over them, providing help to endure. We pray for each other, strengthen and encourage each other, offer kind words to each other, express sympathy, weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. We cooperate, congratulate, and even rebuke each other when needed. The tie that binds is so precious to us, and we gladly, willingly, quickly lend a helping hand to help a brother. Christians need one another, not only in times of disappointment and setbacks, but also in times of success and progress, lest one become puffed up and proud in his heart because he is turned away from God. The fellowship of faithful Christian brethren is so pure and so tender, even with all the faults that abide among us. Now the divine part of the promise was that God would do Israel good. He had spoken good concerning that people. You see, at this time the Israelites were God's chosen people. He protected them, he provided for them, he was their God, they were his people. Well, the same thing can be said of Christians. Christians are the children of Abraham today, Galatians 3 and verse 29. We are God's people. For us, he provides and we are under his protection. And one becomes a member of spiritual Israel, the church, by being born into God's family, just as the Israelites were born into that nation. God had spoken good concerning that people, and God has spoken good, yea, even much more good, concerning his church that's composed of Christians. Great and precious are those promises, 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. Let us notice just a few of the things God has spoken concerning Israel. We enjoy the remission of sin. And this is important to us because our sin is what would separate us from God. But now in Christ those sins are forgiven, and we are most blessed in that. We enjoy his abiding presence. To his own he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, Matthew 28 and verse 20. And even to us we have the assurance, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with the things that you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Furthermore, Christ is our intercessor. God hears and answers our prayers offered through Christ. He pleads our case for us before the Father. And we have power to live this life successfully, even in face of trying circumstances. Paul wrote, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation make also a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. This simply teaches us something that it's far easier to say than it is to live, but the promise is true. There is nothing that shall happen this day that God and I together cannot handle. We have hope because we are the heirs of God, Romans 8, verse 17. We are citizens in that kingdom that shall be delivered up to the Father when He comes again, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. We have the promise of the resurrection from the dead, but more than that, a resurrection unto life, a crown of life. And this is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life, 1 John 2:25. And our crown of glory and righteousness shall never fade away, 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. In fact, Paul tells us that every spiritual blessing is in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. And that's where we are. And that is the good that God has spoken concerning us. God has spoken good concerning spiritual Israel. My dear listening friend, all this being true, we have the privilege and the duty to turn to the world and invite them in a similar fashion, just as Moses did to Hobab. And we can say with confidence, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. And may it not be true that any miss heaven because we fail to inform them of the Master's invitation to be saved. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.